Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, it's hard to believe it, but voting by mail in the fall election gets underway this week. And with the COVID-19 pandemic showing no signs of easing, state election officials clearly have their work cut out for them. Whether it's dealing with a massive increase in voting by mail, recruiting an adequate number of poll workers, keeping polling sites clean, safe, and accessible, or dozens of other issues, the work will go on nonstop until November. Recently, I was lucky enough to get an update on how this vital work is going with the executive director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections, Karen Brinson-Bell. In part one of our special two-part conversation, Brinson-Bell and I discussed the preparations that are underway, the issue of cybersecurity, and the progress North Carolina has made in assuring that every vote is recorded on a paper ballot. Welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
So, nothing going on in this job you've got as executive director of the State Board of Elections. It doesn't seem as if you've had a break. It's been quite an extraordinary period of time to be leading this important state agency.
It has been. I've worked in elections for 14 years. This past year has certainly been a totally different set of challenges, not just for me as executive director, but for all 100 counties. Since I came on board last June, as state director, we've had an election through a hurricane. We've certified new voting systems for the first time since 2012. We've had special elections. We've had the first Super Tuesday primary in our state. And all of that leading up to March was the thought that our biggest challenge would be taking extra steps to secure our elections because of cybersecurity. And yet we now, it was on March 3rd that North Carolina had its first case of coronavirus. And so we've had to continue keeping all of those other aspects going while also addressing a pandemic. And we've even conducted an election through the pandemic with the 11th Congressional District Republican second primary and a new election in Columbus County. So I really can't say enough about what my colleagues in all 100 counties are doing to ensure that elections go off without a hitch. I mean, that's our job, and we'll do it under any circumstance, clearly.
So talk to us about what is our overall status right now. Do you feel as if, despite all the amazing developments that have taken place in recent months and the challenges that you face, that the state is in a good spot when it comes to being ready to conduct this incredibly important 2020 election?
There's still work to be done, and it's obviously a very fluid process. I mean, we're all learning. You know, back in March when we learned about coronavirus, we talked about it in terms of an 8-week window for flattening the curve and those terms that we've all come to know. And here we are months later and still learning about the virus and what we need to prepare for. And I certainly don't envy other state agencies and other leaders. But from an election standpoint, many people think we just work 2 days out of the year, you know, the two election days that happen in even years. But the bulk of the work of being an election administrator is really being a planner, a project manager, and a logistics person. And so while many people think that our work will be focused on reaching November 3rd, which is actually, you know, the election day, for us, the kickoff is September 4th when we have the deadline to issue absentee ballots when those start going out. So everything we're doing is leading up to that point in time because that's when the election truly starts. That's when we have people who start voting. So right now, the counties are doing what they would normally be doing, and that's making sure that they have sufficient supplies. We'll start ballot proofing here soon. We are, you know, getting our equipment ready. We'll start testing once we have those ballots. They're securing polling places and poll workers, and those are things we would do for any election. Mm-hmm. We just now have to do it with the pandemic in mind. And so that's meant that we have turned to our other partners at the state and county level and federal level too. But particularly, we're working closely with our state emergency management. They're helping us in the procurement of the PPE, the personal protective equipment, those masks that we'll have available to every voter and that we'll have available for every one of our poll workers. They're helping us with face shields and gloves and disinfecting wipes, even the cotton swabs or Q-tips that'll be used in place of a finger on one of those ballot marking devices. Mm. We'll use a Q-tip instead. So those are the kind of things that are happening right now. We're working with them as our state partner. That'll carry down to the local level and emergency management officials there who will help with the distribution of those supplies to the county election offices. And then we're, of course, working with Health and Human Services, particularly when it comes to our care facilities and how we'll administer voting for voters who are residents of those care facilities. And then just also working with Health and Human Services to understand, you know, the guidelines. We've certainly had guidance from the CDC, but working with our Health and Human Services officials helps us to understand how to better carry that out for North Carolina.
We're talking with Karen Brinson-Bell, who's the executive director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Karen, even before we talk a little bit more about the virus and the pandemic, you alluded to the issue of the possibility of breaches of security with our election. This has obviously been something we've been talking about a lot in recent years. Are you feeling comfortable that North Carolina's electoral system is secure and that hackers won't be worming their way into the system this fall?
We've really built out our cybersecurity efforts. Back in the fall, we launched a campaign. We've been trying to inform all of our fellow citizens in North Carolina about the efforts that we're taking, utilizing a hashtag, which is hashtag your vote counts NC, but also trying to spread information about what we are doing. And a lot of that is, again, about these partnerships. We work directly with the Department of Homeland Security, with our state emergency management officials. Our North Carolina National Guard has a cybersecurity unit that helps us to monitor. We work with our Department of Information Technology, and then we build our own cybersecurity unit here with cybersecurity advisors, with security support technicians throughout the state. We have 8 of those now who directly help the counties and offer field support for them. And so a lot of what we do, we try to take proactive measures, but obviously with cybersecurity, sometimes that's a reactive thing. So there have been some ransomware attacks and things of that nature on county governments, not just direct towards elections, but with county government. And those partners have stepped in and helped us not only ensure that that county government was solid and able to proceed, but also that we had everything that we needed for security with elections. And we are. We found that our efforts are securing our elections. Those safeguards are working. And a lot of it is much more technical than you and I will ever understand of what they're doing. But knowing that those firewalls and those sensors and those protective efforts have worked is really just, you know, that's what the folks need to know. And that even before cybersecurity became this big item that we focused on in elections, we were doing it already. We were already taking protective measures, and those continue. Before every election, for example, we do what's called logic and accuracy testing. And that means that every single piece of voting equipment that goes out and all the components associated with that voting equipment, each and every one of those is tested. And when I say test, I mean that not only do we make sure that it's working properly, but we make sure that those pieces of equipment can tabulate and understand the voters and, you know, their marks properly. So we test on that ballot that goes into those tabulators. We test every contest, every ballot position, every response, every ballot style for every single precinct on every piece of that voting equipment that goes out to those polling places. So things like that are really extensive, and we conduct mock elections to make sure things are working properly. So that not only deals with the logic and accuracy testing I mentioned, but also, you know, how we test our system for how the results get pushed out to make sure all of those components are working properly too. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people may not realize that we're doing to ensure the security of their elections and that their vote does count.
One last question in that realm, which is, you know, a lot of advocates have argued that we need to have paper ballots for everybody so that we have a record in case there are any kind of computer snafus. We've got a place to go back and check and verify the results. Is that going to happen at some point in the state that we'll have a paper ballot for everybody? And I mean, it's one of the interesting things about our elections is that it varies so much from area to area in terms of the techniques we use to cast our ballot. What are your thoughts on that? Are we moving in a direction where there'll be more uniformity and we can have absolute certainty that there's a way to go back and check everybody's vote?
We actually do have that now. Okay. When we certified that new voting equipment back it was just a few months ago when we finalized all of that last August and then into December with some modifications. What this state board did and what I recommended to them was to certify systems that would produce a paper ballot. Okay. So what we have, previously we had direct recorded systems in our state that would have a log, but now we do still have assistive devices, ballot marking devices, that can be used by anyone, but the voter can make their selection on the screen, but it is marked to a paper ballot that is then put into a tabulator, just like pre-printed paper ballots would be done. So in all 100 counties in North Carolina, every vote that is cast on a paper ballot.
Thanks for making that clear. That was my suspicion, but I wanted to make sure that that was the case, and I think that will add some confidence to our listeners out there as they approach the 2020 election. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the challenges that the pandemic is posing. I know you all have taken some action recently. You issued an emergency order, and you've alluded to some of the tactics that will be used to keep voters and poll workers safe. You've also launched a program to recruit more poll workers, which I think many people thought could be a challenge since poll workers tend generally to be elderly in many places and tend to be folks who might see themselves and might really be more susceptible to the virus. Talk to us about some of those actions we're taking now. You've alluded to some, but what about this heroes idea of recruiting poll workers?
I'm glad you brought that up. We're really proud of this effort and the message that we're trying to convey through our Democracy Heroes campaign. You know, we've heard the phrase that not all heroes wear capes, and that's certainly been the case through this pandemic. We watch people on the front lines in our medical profession in particular, but many essential employees who are ensuring, you know, the safety of everyone by continuing the work that they're doing, and they're doing so without wearing a cape. Well, when it comes to Election Day, in order to carry out our democracy, to ensure that we have our elections, it's going to take those people working at the polling places as election officials, and they will be our heroes without a cape. They'll be our democracy heroes. And it takes that. We have about 2,700 polling places on Election Day in this state and about 500 early voting sites. We don't have enough full-time election officials in our county offices to fulfill those roles, so it requires, in a sense, a volunteer. There is some pay with those positions, but you know, for the number of hours that they put in and the work that they do, many of them see it as a volunteer effort, even though, like I said, they do get some pay. But they'll be staffing our early voting sites and our Election Day sites, responsible for the setup and the breakdown of those voting enclosures. They will be conducting the election. They'll be checking in voters, providing them with ballots, but also, you know, providing them this time with a mask, with a single-use tin that they can mark their ballots with, making sure that those voting booths are separated so we have social distancing either while they're in line or while they're voting. And so they are, these folks will be essential. And it takes about 25,000 people across the state serving in that capacity as a democracy hero to make this happen. So through our website, through our social media, and through partnerships, we've got numerous civic organizations and veterans organizations and other entities who have said they will partner with us and help us get that word out. We'll be reaching out and asking people to, you know, indicate their interest through a survey. Their information will then be shared with the County Board of Elections. They don't have to go through us. They can reach out directly to their County Boards of Elections. And, you know, at this point in time, as you said, many of our poll workers over the years have been dedicated, often retirees, and so that means that they likely are in the vulnerable population. Some of them will continue to serve because they're that dedicated to it. But at this point in time, what we need is for those who aren't in the vulnerable population to step up and say to their neighbor who might be older or vulnerable, or their, you know, their grandmother or mom or dad, you know, hey, it's my time. Let me step up and do this to help our country and help our state and to see the elections happen. So that's what we're asking for.
We're talking with Karen Brinson-Bell, who's the executive director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections. Another huge issue that we've got to talk about in our time that we have remaining is the issue of voting by mail, absentee ballots. We expect an enormous spike in the number of people requesting these kinds of ballots this year as they look to protect themselves from the virus. Are we ready for that? Is the state going to be able to handle that? And do you have any concerns that we still have some roadblocks in the way of people getting them in. Maybe they don't have the postage, or how do they deal with getting an absentee ballot? Have we made it easy enough for people to obtain those? What are your thoughts on what's going on in that realm?
That's the good fortune of us being able to plan since March when this pandemic broke out. There are states that have moved to all-mail balloting or have made further strides, but we knew that most North Carolinians choose to vote in person. We've only traditionally had about a 4-5% participation rate by mail. But North Carolina is what we call a no-excuse absentee state, which means a person can receive a ballot by mail for any reason. They just make that request. That request form is available on our website. We're setting up an online portal that'll be available by September 1. They can call and have one sent to them from their county board of elections. But once they make that request, it'll get sent to their county board. We'll issue a ballot to those individuals. We made some recommendations to the legislature that included reducing the number of witnesses down to just one. Previously, North Carolina required two witnesses to the marking of an absentee ballot, and now that's just one. We have expanded our multi-partisan assistance teams. I mentioned the online portal. We're going to be having some additional tracking features where the voter not only knows where their ballot is with the elections office, but they're going to be able to track their ballot through the mail system. We're taking a lot of steps to try to make this easier for voters. We've redesigned the envelope to where it's clearer and helps them get through the process more easily. And I think all of these things are going to be a culmination of how we can best address and provide this voting option to North Carolinians, because we are projecting that in this election that anywhere from 20% to as much as 40% of the voter participation will be absentee by mail. But we'll be doing that in conjunction with giving them a safe voting experience if they choose to vote in person, because we know that so many North Carolinians do choose, especially our early voting, our one-stop early voting sites. That 17-day period will make that safe and secure for them as well, and on election day.
No, some of these decisions are not yours. They're made by the General Assembly. The issue of the witness requirement, I know, remains an issue of some controversy. Only a handful of states actually require a witness, and it's going to clearly make it easier to go from 2-1. Do you have any concerns still that there might be people who would be dissuaded, however, because of maybe they're sheltering at home and simply aren't interacting with other people and this is a situation that could become even more acute in the weeks and months ahead? Any concerns that requirement of a witness will still pose a roadblock for some folks?
We did make a request to the legislature, and we asked for the elimination or the reduction of a witness. We did that knowing that we are a state that has had the witness process, but other states do signature verification. We use a witness to verify that the voter is who they say they are when they're casting their absentee ballot. In other states, they do a signature verification, which is generally done with computer software. So when I made that recommendation, it was with the idea that we would implement something of that nature. But at this point in time, the legislature made the decision to stay with a witness. So we'll implement that. We would be really behind the eight ball to move to a signature verification process at this point. So we know that more than 70% of our voters live in a household with only one or two voters. We hope that means that we can still fulfill the witness requirement, and that won't be an issue for them as they execute their ballot.
Was there any talk about the issue of maybe having prepaid postage so that, you know, I know a lot of folks have said to me, gosh, that might make it easier for some people. A lot of people don't use traditional mail anymore, don't have stamps lying around, or it might be a burden to get to the post office. Was there any thought of maybe just having it all prepaid?
That actually was in my recommendations also, but we received CARES funds from the federal government, but when you look at the overall budget, prepaid postage was going to be, I believe, over $2 million out of the $13 million that we would have received. And it's taking more than $13 million for us to deliver a safe election, even without the prepaid postage, and to put all these systems into place that we need during an election, during a pandemic. So what we do have as an option for voters instead is if they don't have that postage, can't put that into their mailbox or drop it off to the post office, they can drop it off in person to our Board of Elections office, or they can drop it off to the one-stop sites during that 17-day period before the election. They can do that without having to put a stamp on it.
We'll hope very much that they take advantage of that. I guess we're coming to the end of our time with Karen Brinson-Bell, the Executive Director of the North Carolina State Board of Elections. I guess my final question is, could you remind our listeners about sort of the time frame and what are some of the key dates that will be coming up, you know, where they might go online to find the information they need?
Absolutely. Much of what we've talked about, if not all, is found on our website, ncsbe.gov. You can get the absentee request form there. You can learn more about the Democracy Heroes and complete that information survey or interest survey. And so many aspects. We'll continue to keep that updated. We'll put out on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I knew there was one more. And then some of the key dates that everybody needs to remember is they can make their absentee by mail request now. We'll start sending those absentee ballots out on September 4th. We'll continue to do so through up till the election. The last day that someone can request that absentee ballot is October the 27th. And our in-person early voting period will go from October 15th to October 31st. For those who have not registered to vote, they have the opportunity to do that online. If they are a DMV customer, they can do that through our website as well. The last day to register to vote is October the 9th, and then we'll have same-day registration available for those who still have not registered. They can go to a one-stop site during that period and register. And then probably the most important date of all is that the election is November the 3rd. That'll be the last day to vote in this election period.
We thank you so much for your leadership in making it a what we hope very much is a successful exercise. And please keep up the good work. And hopefully we can talk afterwards to discuss what a success these next few months will have been.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Coming up next, a conversation about the well-being of children in North Carolina with one of the state's top experts. Stay with us.